this is how they
Muhammad,
close
there's an important
the
point
power.
To be made here. The power never is relinquished by the top Zionist Jews. In spite of them shopping around for front men and putting them in positions of influence, the top of the pyramid is always held by Zionist Jews, and that is true in Hollywood. It's true in the drug companies in America, like Eli Lilly and Matt Merck, and it's true in Cargill and Monsanto. It's true in the defense industry with General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin. It's true in Boeing Industries. It's true that the very top is always in the hands, either through preferred shares or through trust agencies and companies, that the control of this stuff is always in the hands of Zionist Jews themselves.
And what's amazing, you know, Darryl, this direct control may be only one or two phone calls away, is that, of course, Obama has chosen a man called Geithner to take on the Treasury position that Mr. Paulson currently has.
You mean
so
King Henry?
In the new administration of the American government, in comes Mr. Geithner to head up the Treasury, to be in charge of all the government's money.
Yeah.
And where did he work for 3 years? No less a place than Kissinger Associates. So he is now Mr. Kissinger's representative in charge of all the American government's money.
But wait a minute. We got to talk about Paulson's beginnings on Wall Street, with of course the biggest group you can come across, which Goldman Sachs is a directly held and directly controlled company all the way back to European Jewry, and they have been in charge of that company since the very beginning. And that's who generated this guy, along with a guy named Rubin, who's coming back too, and this guy Larry Summers, who designed the destruction of Glass-Steagall, which kept America's finances safe from predators. The fact of the matter is that there's criminal Zionist Jews all over this new administration, and they all have links back to Rothschild, to Kissinger Associates, to you can't make this stuff up, Muhammad. And then when you look at Britain right now, it's the same story with Mendelssohn coming back and this guy Manning back here. It is really undeniable. And I'm sure if my researchers in South Africa want to dig a little bit, you're going to find out your entire country is controlled by people from outside South Africa. And the reason poverty remains an entrenched problem there is not because the African National Congress cannot get it right. It's because they will never get it right because they're not permitted to get it right. They are a controlled political group like the Republicans, Democrats, Tories, Labor. Doesn't matter, Muhammad.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? We're getting a big shift over from one political party to another in the United States in this new administration of government. But all of the top jobs are just moving from one bunch of Zionists to another bunch of Zionists, and that although some of those Zionists might be less well known, like Geithner and other people that appear to be smaller players, what we're demonstrating, Darryl, is that the strings to the main handlers are always there. We're back. As soon as we look at this man's history, we find ourselves back at that same position. Mandelson has come back into the UK government, much to the disappointment of Gordon Brown, but Gordon Brown was told he had to have him back. This is the third time that Mandelson's come back. He's had to leave three times, Darryl, as a disgraced Member of Parliament, not worthy of being a Member of Parliament, and not worthy of the title Honourable. But we've given it to him a fourth time, in spite of him being caught lying to the House on three previous occasions, to such severity that he had to be told to go.
His connections to the City of London are beyond argument. It is an absolute fact that this guy is a puppet master's dream. He's been in and out of government, but he's connected to the dirt on everybody. You want to do something against these criminals, Mendelsohn will come at you like an attack dog you don't even know. And there was a good example of it when the shadow prime minister went out looking for money to campaign, and of course who comes to his aid but Mendelsohn and the young Rothschild, him right up. Of course, you know, you don't step out of line because the next bunch of dirt might be pictures of you with a prostitute or with children or with your fingers in the cookie jar or whatever. But these people play very dirty, and if they couldn't stop you that way, you'd fall out of a tenth-story window.
Indeed. The incident that you're talking about there is famous. Mandelson had only been back a couple of weeks and found himself once again in controversy. The reason that he was present on the Russian oligarch boat, which is where this incident occurred, when the shadow treasury minister was asking for potentially asking for funds, that's what the argument's about. Of course, this was all done under the watchful eye of a member of the Rothschild household. Why? Because Mandelson is Rothschild's man. He always has been. He represents Rothschild's interest in the Labour government.
That's right. But they have their representatives in the Conservative Party. In France, we have our... Listen to this one. Ségolène Royal has come out and she's discovered that her partner of 20 years, Zionist Jew named Francois Holland, running the Socialists, was a crook and a Zionist. And this guy handed over the government to Sarkozy, and now, of course, they don't like this, but the guy they wanted to run for the head of the Socialists, mayor of Paris, a Jewish homosexual Zionist, didn't make it, so they put another Zionist in charge, Martine Aubry. It is just so obvious to anybody who's done the research, Mohammed. It's happening in France. It's happening in Germany now. They've got this guy they've got special forces guys in Iraq, and they've got people in Kosovo in the German military intelligence killing other NATO soldiers, and it is just off the hook crazy what's going on in this world.
Well, and of course it will remain crazy as long as these crazy people are allowed to remain in charge. As you pointed out, Nixon did not subscribe to a lot of the things that Kissinger was advocating. He did not agree with what Kissinger was saying. And then we find out Kissinger, who was, of course, his nickname, Dr. Death, actually went forward in all of these assassination plans. Unbeknownst to Nixon, he actually went and did it behind the back of his own president. But of course, what I fear with the coming Obama regime and the high-profile positions of this new Zionist blood is that they won't need to do it behind his back. It'll be even more overt than Bush. Bush seems to push things around and make it look like it's decisions of other members of his administration, but I think Obama's just going to take the glory for everything. He's just got written all over him that, you know, he likes doing his speeches, he's an expert in hypnosis and neurological programming. There's been a lot of analysis work done, Darrell, by well-skilled people on Obama's delivery of his speeches, and he must have had some very serious training from the highest levels of speech manipulation and presentation.
He got the best Tavistock has to offer, Mohammed. He got Tavistock's best neurolinguistic specialists and Stanford research and Rockefeller research people that know all about mind control, and this guy was a studied man. They groomed him to be a Svengali, and he is very good.
And this is the amazing thing that we now have, Darrell, in the world, incredible division where we have people coming maybe from the French Connection side of the street who've done their own research, looked into it, seen you as a solid point of reference, seen the information as solid information to base their perception of reality on. And then you've got other people who, for whatever reason, can't find it within themselves to study, can't find it within themselves to look at these things, whether it's through fear of losing their job, fear of losing social position, fear of being crazy. God alone knows what these motivations are. But they've bought into these speeches hook, line, and sinker. We've got these two massively opposed camps in the world. Those who have been blinded by this speech and are following him, we'll off the end of a cliff, no doubt, and others who are looking at this administration and saying, oh boy, this is far worse than even Bush's administration.
Yeah. But see, here's the problem. On top of him being the leader of a new and more virulent crime gang, we are at the weakest point we've ever been as a society, because worldwide famine and poverty are erupting. We've got all kinds of sicknesses that are ready to be unleashed upon us. I believe they're going to start putting diseases back out there. And if you want to look into the funding for the immune deficiency diseases that came out of the Rockefeller Institute in the 1970s, they were propagated by none other than Mr. Kissinger. And there were white papers that were circulated in the American government back in the 1970s funding the research for all of this stuff through Rockefeller, through that institute, where they could put these diseases into the mainstream and put it into vaccines and all of this stuff. What we've got coming is a crime wave and a sicknesses and mayhem and starvation and pestilence. These guys are setting us up for the biggest fall in human history, and I can only see terrible things on our horizon unless we have a mass awakening. Now, that mass awakening is possible. You know, things can span the globe by word of mouth, and I believe that is beginning to take effect. But will we be in time, Muhammad? Do we have the time?
Well, the time will always be a critical factor, and also, you know, some things will be without limit of time. You know, no matter how much time you give some people, they're just not going to look at this stuff. There are some people out there who won't on the they live glasses, Darryl. You know, they just don't. They don't want to give in. They'll never do it. There are some people out there who just won't. I think what's going to happen is, you know, it's the next stage in they live. We've got people waking up to this, but ultimately it's going to come to action. This awareness, which is very impressive compared to where we were 4 years ago, no doubt. But ultimately, this is going to have to turn into some kind of action,
where those glasses
are forced onto other people, where the message is forced home. And I think, you know what you were saying earlier about the Rockefeller Institute and its population control agenda? Kissinger famously declared the population of Africa and other people who were not contributing to their wealth as the useless eaters. That's the actual terminology. People who are useless eaters, they have no use and they consume and they don't contribute anything to our betterment. And that's why the World Health Organization under Kissinger brought about what looked like vaccination programs against all types of sicknesses, but in reality they were deliberately poisoning and reintroducing diseases into Africa just to try and depopulate the place. It's just a mindset of evil that you just can't grasp, can't relate to. It's inhuman, but real.
Well, you know, Muhammad, the things that I'm actually starting to understand about where we're going and the waking up process for people, they are being forced out of fear to examine how they want to address this in their own families, with their friends, with their colleagues at work, and with their neighbors and with their religious communities. This is not an Islamic issue or a Christian issue or even a Jewish issue. And we have to say here, Muhammad, you and I have been, this is one of the reasons why it's been hard to silence me, because I'm not against the righteous Jews in the world that haven't been part of this. The fact of the matter is that there are righteous people who love their families worldwide that absolutely don't want this stuff to happen, but yet many of them are too fearful to be courageous enough to stand up. Now, how do we get people geared up to be courageous?
Well, this is a personal problem. I think it's to do with people's mentality, where they have to examine themselves as to when they're prepared to make that stand and what they're prepared to lose, by way of sacrifice. Sacrifice is something which we as Muslims are supposed to be able to adopt very easily. And it is, for me, quite shameful, Darryl, that somebody like yourself, who sacrificed an enormous amount in this fight, have done so from your own motivations, from your own sense of justice and your own sense of righteousness, but that it's a righteousness, it's a fight which is obligatory upon the Muslims. The Muslims need to get behind this wholesale. They've got to look at the conduct of these people out in Saudi and in Kuwait and the UAE, who are throwing money into Citigroup and throwing money into lost causes and not backing the fight. The fight which is inevitable, this clash. Anybody looking at the world can see that that it's polarizing into two camps. There won't be a third camp for people to sit on the fence, Darryl. There is no third camp. It's like Bush. You're either with Bush or you're with the terrorists. It's naturally forming into these two camps because it's those who are aware and those who are not aware. You know, we don't have to be Christian to see the reality of Jesus' teaching, the truth shall set you free. You are not a mental slave to these people, Darryl, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe in this teaching of Jesus or not. The truth of the teaching stands up on its own merit. By studying the truth, you become mentally free alone. For that reason, as a man, as a human being, or as a woman, as a human being, you should want after truth just to be free in your mind, no matter what the loss or cost in this world would be. But there are people not ready to meet that challenge, Darryl.
Well, but see, you know, I listened to a broadcast just before mine on CII for the last half hour of it, and they were talking about the pornography industry. And what people that didn't bring up, and what people didn't understand, is that entire industry that's being inflicted on South Africa right now of pornography and destruction of morals is a Jewish-inspired industry. It is owned and operated through Jewish money. Now, I have the proof of that American and European Jews are behind the pornography industry worldwide. They're also behind the drug industry. They're also behind the Ricard, the drinks company, and Diageo, and all of these. They are behind the poisoning of the human family, and they are also behind the propaganda people see on television. So what people need to do is immediately understand that when they participate in any way, in any of the things that I just mentioned, they're giving strength to the criminals, and they're degrading our ability to fight back. And that is a fact. Now, granted, everybody is of free will in if you are hopefully living in a free country. No longer are we living in free countries. But if you're making a conscious choice to make a mistake in your life, and I include myself in that group, Muhammad, I'm not Lily White, the fact is that we have to be mindful when those mistakes are being made that we are actually destroying our own ability to be free when we do that. We're giving up our children's futures to be free when we participate in these things, when we allow alcohol and drugs and everything else to find its way into our children's lives and pornography in our lives. Now, again, I think the best way to handle those things is through education and through the tested system that Christianity has used over time. And I believe Islam has also used, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the system of shame. Whatever happened to being ashamed of ourselves, Muhammad? Today in this world, nobody's ashamed of themselves anymore if they put pins through their head and they tattoo themselves and look sickly and they allow pornography and they swap their wives out with other people and you do all this other stuff. There's no shame left in the world, and this is why we can't fight them. How do we resurrect the idea that you should be ashamed of yourself? See,
well,
making a law against something, Muhammad, making a law against something does not mean you can stop it. But when society finds something over the top and shameful, it should be eradicated through the use of shame.
Well, of course, the issue of shame brings us back, sadly, to the progenitor of all of what we're facing around us, which is beyond the Zionist movement, Zionism itself is just a tool of Zoharites. And I make the point, Darrell, that the Zoharites, of course, don't believe in the concept of shame. They believe shame is, for want of a better phrase, the work of the devil. The only enemy is shame, and that you should not be ashamed of anything. The whole movement that was put into place by Sabbatai Zevi, the famous messiah, for want of a better phrase, false messiah of the Jews in the 17th century, that he put in place this concept whereby the laws which were created by God no longer apply. There is no evil anymore. There is no good or bad. There is no right or wrong. As reinforced by Aleister Crowley, do as you will shall be the whole of the law. He reinforced this mantra. That what they've done through these agencies of the pornography is burn away at that natural shame, that natural shyness, concepts like embarrassment, things which are all there on what Islamically we would call the fitra, which translates as the conscience, that what's being eroded is people's conscience, Darrell. You know, the ability to say, stealing is only wrong if you get caught. This is the Zionist view.
Yes.
If you don't get caught, then it's not wrong.
Yes, that's right. Yes, right, and they even have a day where they can break all of the promises they made to everybody. And in fact, in their own literature, they don't have to keep any agreements with non-Jews from their own group. But these
That's
people
right.
are so
it's
monstrous.
The Noel prayer, the prayer of atonement, in which it says, God, forgive me for the sins of the previous year which I committed, and forgive me for the sins that I'm about to commit for the next year. And by the way, in this atonement, accept from me that every promise I made was not a promise, and that every agreement that I made was not an agreement, and that I am not bound by any of these things in your sight.
Yeah, well, this is that sick left-right paradigm in the right-hand, left-hand of God, and evil and good is all in one part of it. Now, these people, they have pushed this agenda through the New Bohemian movement, through their infiltration in Freemasonry, through the Kabbalah, and through their Baal Shem network, throughout the last 300-400 years, to a crescendo, at the beginning of the 20th century, 1905 till 1925, they pushed their firm control of this sickness everywhere. And you know, even back when media was being invented, the Jews were involved in the first pornographic machines that were found in boardwalks and penny arcades where you could see this sick stuff. It was Jewish inspired and Jewish propagated. This stuff, it goes back and it has a history, but it's really coming to a zenith right now in the human family, where unless and until we can stand up as a unit, as a group, as an interfaith, intercultural group, to stand up against these people, we're going to go down in defeat. That's why I'm banging the pots, I'm screaming from the mountaintops. This has to be done now, Muhammad.
Oh yes, we've got enough aware people out there now to turn this into some solid action. Just covering the point you were making before, Darrell, of course, we understand the wife swapping of this movement, the Donmay, the wife swapping Jews of Turkey, and how when Frank was involved in wife swapping and he said to his followers, if you really believe in me as the Messiah, then you must sleep with your sister or your mother or your daughter and not fear it, because these laws of God don't apply anymore. This would explain, and they've kept this under wraps as their own conduct for centuries, but kept trying to push back the boundaries and the barriers and the borders till it became acceptable, to now they sell this stuff on a DVD. You know, this kind of behavior of wife swapping and orgies and orgiastic practice, which Orthodox Jews hated in the day, and if they found people from among their midst practicing it, they automatically accused them of being Zoharites and ousted them from their own community. They still had a sense of shame and decency amongst themselves. That's all gone. And you know, Darryl, not many people know this, but actually one of the techniques that they tried to use on breaking the will of the Palestinians was that periodically on the TV programs that they were able to pick up on their channels, they would start broadcasting from the Israeli state TV pornography just to try and break the will of the people and to corrupt them. It's been used as a weapon.
Yeah. It is used as a weapon to destroy the American ideals, and it's happening in South Africa, it's happening in Pan-Africa, it's happening across Europe. There's bestiality and animal sex and all kinds of sicknesses being propagated. The fact is, Muhammad, we are in a very dangerous place in human history, and I fear, unless and until we do something dramatic, we are all going to fall. We have to do something dramatic. And that dramatic necessity is today, ladies and gentlemen. It's last week. It's last month. We are so late on this. How can we get people to move forward with this fight? I mean, we've got to get people awoken worldwide in an instant. It has to happen now.
We need to keep pushing this information war. The work which you're doing and that CII Radio is doing in propagating this is helpful. It's helped enormously. But people who are listening out there need to take it even further, because we've got to keep approaching the concept of the critical mass. You know, eventually, Darryl, enough people will know about this that something effectively will happen of its own accord. And we've got to keep pushing out these barriers and these limits and appealing to people who haven't looked. You faced Nader off. He heard what you had to say. Everybody who listened to that show knows that Nader knows what the truth is. And it's now round his neck. He can't go anywhere. He can't escape from it. We need more people to do this, Darryl, to confront these people. We need to confront them at the top. We need to tell them, bare-faced like you did, we know. We know what's going on. You can talk all day long around this. You can pretend. You can do your Irish jig around the facts. But we know, and you know we know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Muhammad, we're reaching the end of our hour, and I want to tell you that this has been the fastest hour I've done in a long time on these broadcasts. And I must say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I do have another interview coming up on IamTheWitness.com with the group from the Somerville group on Palestine. So for those of you in the Pan-African audience who have access to the Internet, please hold on for later on this evening. You will be getting a file up on the Somerville's political group. Hopefully, if I can get in touch with the people over in Massachusetts again, that should be coming up as well. Muhammad, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and putting these your ideas to the world. You know, we've got it's a late hour, buddy. We're in the last throes here.
No doubt. But the thing is that we're winning on the information war.
Yes, we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests and my listeners and CII for broadcasting this segment of The French Connection. And until the next time, please tell everyone you know, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell people outside of your religion, if you're Christian or if you're from Islam or if you're from a Hindu sect or anybody. You tell them, you tell everyone. Join together with everyone who cares about their future and their families that this is what's happening and this is what we need to do to stop it. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Darryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you, please, be well. Bye-bye now.